Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Episode 357 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Droste, Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez here to talk all the latest news in the world of professional wrestling. No two guys I'd rather do it with than these guys. Justin, how are you doing this week, man? How are things?
I am doing pretty good. I am curious, do you have a strong outline for this show or just kind of a concept of an idea for it?
I have a concept of a plan for this show. Is that okay? That's just a concept, maybe?
Let's just work. We'll go by that. We'll go from that. Yeah, that works.
You know, I've had 8 years to put this show together. So at this point, I should have a plan. You know, I mean, it'd be very bad if I didn't, but I have concepts of a plan in my mind. And I'll let you know in the future how that's going to work out.
I do have a non-wrestling related question for you, but I'm going to let you get to Jesse first. If you could circle back to me, that'd be great.
All right. I'll circle back. Do you have anything in the glass, Justin, before I go to Jesse?
Heine, N.A.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Jesse, how's it going?
You're talking about that open. I might as well kind of stay on course with it. I mean, Ryan, we tried your way, but diplomacy has failed.
There
today
we go.
After this war.
Yeah.
What about you? You drinking anything tonight, Jesse?
No, I still have to be up early tomorrow for a few hours before we head to back towards this way for a funeral.
Yeah. Thoughts out to the fam. Be nice to you know, get through that though, and kind of move forward, I guess. So, yeah, we'll be thinking of you tomorrow, buddy. It's always rough, but we'll try to get your mind off of things tonight with a little pro wrestling.
God willing, it wasn't suffocation by plastic bag. Is all I hope. That would have been super awkward this week.
Oh my god.
My thoughts exactly. Nope. Did not go that way. I mean, thankfully, this is my side of the family, the Boca Chica side of the family. So my assumption is as soon as this is over, I think I know where we're going and I know what we're doing.
There you go. Well, I'm drinking. I have a Big Grove Easy Eddie. Same thing I drank last night on the Bears Over Beers podcast, which I'm also doing now every other week. And I feel like I'm going to sound like a former member of this podcast, but football season is going to be a little crazy for me this year with the Bears writing and podcasting gig I got going on the other side, and then keeping up with the wrestling here. It's been a crazy, crazy week, but you know, if you guys like the Chicago Bears or NFL at all, that show was a lot of fun. You can check that out on the podcast or YouTube feed for Second City Gridiron. But I did see All Out. I was in Chicago when it happened, did not go to the show, but myself and my dad actually watched most of it in the hotel room in downtown Chicago. And it was really weird watching it actually being in town. Well, in town, I was like an hour away from where it actually is, because I was downtown. But I did see it, and you know, I've been looking forward to talking about it with you guys. So, Justin, throw it back to you. What's your question for me?
Well, first off, I just want to start a shout out to friend of the show, Dante, you know, on a speedy recovery from his injuries. And I don't think we're going to be going super long tonight, but you know, Dante, you've got that classics episode to listen to. We went over 2 hours on that one, and hopefully we'll be here every week for you to something to listen to.
Yes. You made me aware of that. And I was saddened to hear that because Dante's been such a good supporter of ours. So get well soon, man. Hopefully we'll give you some content to get through this rough patch for sure.
All right. Here's my dilemma, man. Cause I know when the Twitter X shit initially hit the fan, you kind of branched out to some of the alternatives. I think I'm officially fed up with Twitter. I think I'm going to quit it. So I'm curious, are you on Threads very often? What was the other one? Blue Sky?
Blue Sky.
Because my issue is, like, for one, Twitter is so fucked up now. Like, I literally yesterday, I was just scrolling. I don't follow any, like, you know, video camera fight, whatevers. Mm-hmm. But I happened to, I saw one, clicked on it, watched it. And today, that's the only thing that is on my fucking feed. It's just all this random fight stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm just over it. And, you know, I'm not going to say which way I lean politically, but there is an ad that keeps popping up for a presidential nominee. And I keep clicking on it saying, I do not like this ad. And it's just nonstop. And I don't see any ads for the other candidate. So I think I'm just fucking done with it. You know, fucking Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. He's a tool.
Yeah. It is terrible. I'm only on Twitter because I feel like I have to use it to promote stuff like this. If I wasn't doing two podcasts, I wouldn't be on there at all anymore. It's terrible. It is so hard to find any reliable information. Here's what I'll say. I like the general layout of Blue Sky better than Threads. It's hard for me to get interaction on there. Other people seem to have a lot of interaction. I've never had it. I don't post that much, but I browse it a lot. A lot of my favorite news political reporters, historians that I followed on Twitter have moved over there. So it's good for that. I'd say Threads has a little bit more in the way of sports. They're both, I mean, they're similar. I feel like Blue Sky reminds me a little bit more of like the old Twitter. I do know that they're adding video to Blue Sky very soon. So it'll be even more like Twitter, and people are hoping that that'll bring more of the sports crew over there. I would say I'm on Blue Sky more than Threads just because of a few people that I follow for their takes on stuff. But there, I mean, I could go either way on it. I feel like some of the more like wrestling and sports people that I follow have been jumping on the Threads bandwagon lately. I feel like I've seen that. Jesse, I know you've been on all of them. You have any thoughts on that?
I actually have not joined Threads yet. I've been holding out for a little while, and I probably should. So I know it's like a diamond in the rough trying to find good information on Twitter/X these days. So I do want to send a shout out and a congratulations to Cam Hawkins for being hired by Ariel Helwani's new Yahoo/project sports project and combat sports moving forward. That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, the thing about Threads, it's easy is it, you know, if you have an Instagram account, it's automatic. You just click it and then you have your account. It's very, very fast.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know.
It'll be affiliated with your Instagram account, like, instantly. I think you just, on Instagram, there's, like, a menu option, and it'll just bring it up, and then it'll, your account's active.
So. It stinks, because, like, I know for a fact that some of my favorite wrestling personalities to follow have basically out and out said that they're just going to stick with Twitter until it dies. You know, it's like, well, shit, it's like,
yeah,
I desperately want to get out of that, forum, but man, it's gonna really suck to leave some of those opinions behind. Not any of the opinions who think wrestling is too violent or any of that kind of BS. I won't miss any of that.
There's definitely more of wrestling Twitter on Threads. I will say that for sure. Okay. And the other thing, last thing I'll say about it is cool is like when you go from Instagram to it, if any of your follows on Instagram are on there, they will automatically, like, they automatically follow you and you automatically follow them.
Oh,
so I like already sets up a follow list for you just based on the people you know that are already on there. So that's cool.
Perhaps I will be starting a Threads account this weekend.
Tim says, use AOL.
I'm a CompuServe guy, Tim.
Remember ICQ? That was another one of those.
I don't remember that.
Yahoo Messenger. Mm. Yeah. MSN Messenger back in the day.
Yep.
Ryan Huffman, he wore, I did see this. I think he put it in the Facebook group. He wore a TRN shirt to school yesterday for homecoming because they had red, like American patriotic red, white, and blue day or something like that. So he wore his red, white, and blue logo TRN shirt. So that was pretty cool. Thanks for the support, hey, Ryan Huffman.
Did I see correctly that Ryan Huffman's going to be adding a Top Rope Nation fan to his tribe here?
That is accurate. That is that. Yeah, he's going to have to order a onesie.
Congratulations, Ryan. That's fantastic, man.
Absolutely. Now, again, Ryan Huffman, not this Ryan. I'm done with that. Just to be clear, three's enough.
Just going to ask that.
No, not this Ryan. Ryan Huffman. Guys, if you want to support my family of three children and Jesse's family of a child and Justin's family of two children and, you know, everybody else, you can become a patron of this show. You can get access to all of our bonus content for just $5 a month, 160 plus bonus shows, 2.5 hours on SummerSlam 94. Just went up last week. Awesome, awesome show. There's a teaser on our main feed. You can hear the whole thing by becoming a member. I say it every week. It is the best way to support our show. And look, we're not a brand new podcast trying to get you to open up the pocketbooks. We've been doing this for 8 years. So support us, show us some support, become a patron. We appreciate all of you who do. You see the name scrolling across the bottom. Another option, if you're here on YouTube right now, is you can become a YouTube TRN Plus member for just $2.99 a month. And that gets you access to the video version of Top Rope Nation Classics, which is our most popular bonus show. You know, we've got a few of them over on the Patreon feed, but Top Rope Nation Classics is like our signature bonus show. You can get access to the video only version for $2.99 a month. That includes SummerSlam 94. That includes the last 2 years of TRN Classic shows, and I'm uploading even older ones as we speak. So, I mean, that's another pretty good way to support the show. Otherwise, hit like on this video right now. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, if you hit like, that would help us out. I would appreciate that. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already. And of course, you can find us on all of the podcast feeds as well. Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Support the show. Keep us rolling into year 9 and year 10 and beyond.
I feel like we need Sarah McLachlan's voice in the background saying, for only $5, you just her singing something random.
You know, the thing is, yeah, no, for sure. I wish you'd cut that audio out and just play it like lightly in the background. You know, like I hate shilling. I really do. But it's part of the gig. And it's like, look, man, it's like a coffee a month. And really, you know, I hate when I turn on a new podcast that like just started and they're like, hey, support us on Patreon. It's like, I don't even know if you're going to be around for another month, but we've been doing this show for 8 years and, you know, mm-hmm. working really hard. And so if you've been supporting us on the free feed and you have not heard any of those bonus shows, you owe it to yourself for at least 1 month to check it out, because our retention rate on Patreon is like 90%+. All the people that sign up usually stick around. We pump out that great content, TRN Extra as well, TRN Unplugged, Jesse's bonus show. I've been posting star ratings of my own for pay-per-views lately, just put up the all-out star ratings a little bit ago. That's a new feature that we've added. We do drawings once in a while. We do Zoom hangouts. So again, $5 a month. We would appreciate your support. That's what keeps this thing humming and rolling along.
He's an honest grader too, by the way.
That's true. I don't grade on a curve.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to hear this. I have not seen your scores yet.
Oh, I could share those as we talk about the show. Look, you give me your score, Justin Joint. What was your A through F grade of All Out?
I will go with an A-. I thought it was a pretty solid show, top to bottom. I was thoroughly entertained. The only stinker of a match was Mercedes, which is something I think we need to talk about. What is going on with her? But other than that, you know, even kind of the more humdrum stuff, like the tag title match was kind of humdrum, but it was still a solid match. We had a match of the year candidate, at least one, in Ospreay and Pac. And, you know, the Swerve Hangman feud continued. It not only continued, but it felt like it escalated. And they had an angle with Danielson that I don't think any of us will soon forget. So in completely unforgettable show that I have honestly rewatched almost the majority of already.
Nice. High praise. Jesse, what about you?
And I go, my gosh, A minus, B plus, somewhere in that range. The great news here, 8 matches on the card.
Yeah.
We definitely like that. So it gives you a little more room to breathe. I'd say half of the card was excellent. I would definitely go Will. I mean, the Ospreay pack, of course. Willow and Chris Statlander, mm-hmm. That's probably going to be women's match of the year, or at least top 2 or 3. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was, and they had to follow Ospreay and Pac, which mm-hmm. was extremely impressive. I would also say, of course, Swerve Hangman, while it's definitely not for everybody, I'm sure we'll get into that later. Hey, it was a spectacle, but it's been a blood feud, and this thing's been going for close to a year. So you got to expect those types of things. And then with that closing angle, of course, with Danielson, Moxley, BCC, some little homage to Terry Funk. Something yeah. I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I probably go A minus. I like the show a lot. I did love, I liked the length that they had 8 matches, you know, that more of that, please, for sure. You know, I watched it. It was weird because I watched it in spurts, like I was talking about. I watched it in the hotel room. And there was a couple of times where I had to like run down to the lobby of the hotel. I actually had to run across the street to a place at one point too, because I bought a shirt and it didn't fit. And I went back to get a different shirt. that was at a blues club in downtown Chicago. So I missed like part of that match. So I watched it in spurts. And then like earlier today, I went back and I rewatched some of it because I felt like I had to. That's why I didn't put out the grades until recently. I felt like I had to kind of take some of those in again, but I think A minus is about right. Our listeners on Twitter were really positive on the show. Put that poll up right now. 102 wow. votes, 60.8% A, 15.7% B, 11.8% C, and then people just trolling 11.8% D or F. I mean, it was a hell of a show. It was really, really good. Between that and Wembley, I mean, how can you go wrong? Yeah. Just like last year, you know, yep. you know, two weeks apart this year, but man, two awesome, awesome shows. Ryan Huffman in the chat, no Jericho on the show, so that was a big win.
Agree.
Absolutely. Agree.
Second year in a row, by the way, that he was not at All Out, which we didn't really acknowledge.
Right. Yeah, didn't even think about
it. Happened last year, so yeah, kudos. Hopefully, we keep it that way for a while.
Yeah. I mean, should we just start off with the violence? We're not going to analyze every match. It's been 4 days at this point in time. I did not really have. I mean, look, when they brought out that needle, I was cringing. But again, it's a match where it's unsanctioned. They're supposed to do stuff like this. I mean, look at what they've done in their mm-hmm. prior matches. They had to get crazy. I was honestly watching with the cinder block. I was probably squirming more from that.
Yep.
Because, you know, at first you're thinking, oh, it's got to be a fake cinder block. But then the way that they fell on it and were immediately scraped and everything, like, holy shit, that's a real that's a real cinder block. And how are they doing this? And that was just nuts. I mean, the violence in that match did not really bother me. You know, the blood throughout on the show, again, doesn't bother me. This AEW this a lot. I wasn't bothered by Moxley and the bag. You know, we saw that how many years ago? 35 years ago in WCW. Clash 8, I think it was, with Funk and Flair. I mean, they did that a long time ago. I know some people are like really losing their shit on that, but I didn't care. Nerds. I thought it was fine. So, was there anything in the violence, Justin, that bothered you on this show? Were you clutching pearls?
No, you know, like you, like I was cringing in the good way. Like, oh my God, no, they're not going to do that. Cause like, for one, if you asked me, if you put down a cinder block and also handed me a needle and said, you either have to stick this needle through your cheek or take a power bomb on the cinder block, I'm taking the fucking needle. I'm putting that through my cheek. I'm not taking that power bond on it. That's what made me cringe the most was all the cinder block stuff. That stuff. I mean, the second that he carried that into the ring, because obviously this goes back to their match at Full Gear when it was an obviously gimmicked cinder block, which is fine. But this one, you know, he dropped it and you could see the weight of it and see that this was a true blue, no bullshit cinder block. And it was like, all right, game on. Let's go. Let's do this. So, yeah, you know, I totally dug it. Nothing bothered me at all about this match. Fantastic. These two have to carry this on forever. I mean, this is like legit. Is there a better feud in AEW history than these two? I mean, for me, like already this might be a borderline top 10 feud if you're just talking two guys in wrestling history.
To me, no. I mean, I'm trying to think about people that have had multiple matches and also a storyline to them. I can't think of any. You, Jesse? Like
Punk and MJF, I think, was one people would point out.
Yeah.
How do you teach people to fall or take a bump on a cinder block?
Dude.
They don't teach that in wrestling school.
No shit, man. My dad, too. He was just squirming watching that with me in that hotel room, like across the room over there. We were both kind of screaming out like, oh, my God, this was insane. Like they're taking bumps, flipping over onto it. And I mean, talk about risky. I mean, you legit could end your career doing this stuff. I mean, it was nuts. And in a good way, though. I mean, it was entertaining. They pushed the envelope like they were supposed to do in this situation.
Yes, and it makes me really think of the first Lights Out match on pay-per-view that I remember from AEW, which was also a fantastic feud, John Moxley, Kenny Omega, Full Gear 19.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, with the mouse traps and was there a glass in that? I don't think so, but there was definitely some barbed wire in there. And that's something you never thought you would see out of Kenny Omega. And a year ago, would you have thought that some of the stuff that you've seen over the course of the year would be associated with Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland? No.
No.
That's crazy.
Two absolutely made men in their roles. And we're going to get to this. We've been banging the drum that we were A-OK with Danielson becoming champion, but that we wanted the title to go right back to Swerve. And it's starting to look like that might not be the case. But it doesn't bother me as much as I thought it would, because as short of a title reign as Swerve just had, he feels like a top guy. You know, he's looked like a top guy, but now that he doesn't have the title, he still has that aura of being a main event guy. And Hangman, holy crap, for as great of a baby face as he was, I mean, just full on embracing the darkness. Just two guys at the top of their game right now.
Yeah, no, perfectly said, perfectly said. I mean, I was curious going in because it felt like Paige had to win just given the results of the prior matches. But, you know, you want to keep Swerve strong, and you're exactly right. He didn't lose anything by losing this match, and especially the way it ended. So, I mean, I thought it was perfectly executed. I thought everything afterward with Hangman looking like tortured with himself on the ramp
was
perfect as well. So on my ratings on our Patreon, you know, I'll let you behind the paywall. I gave this 4.25. I was going back and forth on it, though. Like, I could have gone a little higher on it, maybe. I had a draft of this up, like, all day. I was playing with the ratings, like, man, maybe should I go a little bit higher than that? Like, I would have given it 5 stars. It wasn't that to me. Anything over 4 is, like, an awesome, awesome match, though, in my view. So to go 4.25, I was acknowledging it was super good. I gave Ospreay and Pac the exact same score, 4.25.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I know some people would have been higher on that one, maybe. The only reason I docked that was like, because I never thought Pac would win the match. Like, there was no doubt who was going to win it. And I can't go 5 stars on a match where the result is inevitable. And again, 4.25, like that's in a match of the year consideration. Usually I could see maybe 4.5 on both of them, to be honest with you. I mean, but look, at this point in time, you know, it's like, we're just haggling going back and forth on that kind of a score. I think anything over 4 is right for it. I mean, that's kind of where I was at. Ospreay is just on this incredible run right now. And you know, that match, Jesse, your thoughts on Ospreay and Pac?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I got to know, were you trying to take notes while watching it? because of all the matches I've ever watched, that one was the most impossible. Like, even just watching it, not taking notes, I thought about you and just like, there's no way Jesse's keeping up with this thing.
No, it's very similar to, which I still can't believe, Ospreay and Takeshita Revolution when I was at your house, Ryan. I still don't know how in the world I was taking notes on that. So I think just I'm used to the kind of the speed of Will Ospreay matches. And again, makes me wish I had seen their match about 5 or 6 years ago when Pac was just got out of the WWE. He didn't wrestle for a full year. So we had got to go and tour a little bit of Britain, and he got to wrestle Ospreay before coming into AEW. And apparently they just ripped it up. So these two are familiar with each other. Pac is a big game wrestler. The problem, and hopefully this can be rectified now, is now we can keep him in a full-time setting with AEW.
Yeah.
Especially with the pandemic behind us now. Now he can stay stateside and make a big name for himself, because I'm going to be a little redundant here, but I have said that I thought that if this pandemic hadn't happened, his name would already be on the AEW world title lineage. They thought so highly of him from the beginning. So, go ahead.
I mean, and now he's in the midst, or he's part of the biggest angle in the company. And frankly, he had my, kind of favorite small role in on All Out that we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, again, wrestled Moxley to a 20-minute draw very, very early on in 2019. Had a great match already with Okada this year. Yeah, when he's there, when he's present, the guy can go. So now you just unleash him. As for Will Ospreay, it's been 6 months since he's been with the company, and they just continue to throw him into these very high profile situations, which we'll talk about later. I would love to hear your takes on the direction he's going to be going to next.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I mean, we can hit it now if you guys want. The tag team with Fletcher and the
Hold on real quick. I don't want to move on from this match quite yet. Because my big takeaway was a negative thing with it. I love the match, but I get done with it and I'm like, did we just watch the best possible version of Ospreay Ricochet? Like, I don't think there's any way they could touch what Ospreay and Pac did, just because I know Pac and Ricochet aren't exactly the same type of wrestler. There's just something with Pac I like a bit more in his matches, because it feels like he has actual weight in a ring, if that makes any sense to you guys, where Ricochet and Ospreay kind of move around more like they're elves in Lord of the Rings. Like, Pac is just one of those rare high flyers where even the high flying stuff he does looks like, it's going to hurt somebody just the way he maneuvers with it. And obviously his build plays a big role in it. And, you know, obviously this is a little bit of a biased take. As I said, after all in, not super stoked about Ricochet in AEW. I'm curious. I'm Ricochet curious, but I'm not holding out hope that he's going to have like this big world title run or anything like that. But I don't think, you know, he can top what Pac did in that match. It was just, that's a horrible way to analyze a match by saying this was awesome. This guy couldn't do that. But that's kind of how I felt coming out of it. And obviously because they're teasing Ospreay and Ricochet very heavily.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could go that far. I think that they could surpass this match. I really do. Just because I know it was years ago when they had the famous match and Best of the Super Juniors. But I think just the fact that I wouldn't be as sure who was going to win in that match, maybe, depending on how they build to it. And, you know, just given that I'm sure, you know, Ricochet is making some good money there and there's a possibility he could win the match. That adds a little bit to it for me. I feel like I bite on the pinfalls a little bit more. But I totally get what you're saying. I agree with you on that. That is, his moves carry a little bit more weight with them. I'd never really thought of that, but I totally get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Jesse, go ahead.
Yeah, Pac, like, he's just so compact. It's absurd. Yeah. He comes with a completely different moveset where he can throw you in some submissions as well and ground you, where I think that's where Justin's trying to go with this. One thing I will say about Ricochet that was starting to impress me towards the tail end of his WWE run was he actually is a very strong guy. Mm-hmm. If I recall, he had a match, it was either with Bronson Reed or somebody maybe just a little bit lighter. And he tossed him up, not in a German, it was like a tilt-a-whirl suplex, and he picked him up pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually amazed. He's kind of like mini Claudio with his strength. Claudio is incredibly strong. I think pound for pound, he's the strongest guy probably in pro wrestling. But
you can't,
I mean, if you've really been following Ricochet, especially, I mean, it's kind of hard. Some people don't watch WWE as much. But yeah, I mean, like, even in the match with Gunther, he was able to showcase some of his strength too. So hopefully they'll highlight that a little bit more as his days come along in AEW. Because, I mean, he's just had two matches with, well, Kyle Fletcher's pretty strong. But now last night with Sammy Guevara too, where I almost thought that Sammy kind of outshined him.
Oh, wow. That's a take. I don't disagree. I was kind of lukewarm on that match just because, like, I'm not really interested or rooting for either one of those guys. But, yeah, I can't say you're wrong with that. I like it. Good hot take.
He's not the greatest on the mic. And I'm curious, do you guys think they're making him talk too much in these backs? I mean, I know they're trying to build the Ospreay thing, so he kind of feels like you have to do this. But, I mean, that face-to-face they had at All Out was really not good. He just kept repeating himself over and over and over. Yeah.
You know, and especially after working in WWE, where like everything is so written out for you and you have to like hit point after point after point, you know, that they're laying out for you. I'm sure he's trying to find his sea legs and basically trying to find himself after, you know, working in that structured environment for, God, how long was it? 6 years, 7 years, something like that?
Oh, he came into NXT in early 18, I think, right? So, yeah, well over 6 years.
Because he was on the NXT New Orleans show in 2018.
Yeah, the ladder match, North American title. Yeah, so, I mean, between those two matches on this show, Ospreay and Pac and that main event, what did you guys make of the Brian Jack match? I mean, another one where obviously Bryan Danielson wasn't going to win. I'll go to Jesse first. I mean, any broad takes on that one?
No, I really didn't have any. I think, again, most of it for me was the theatrics afterward, especially after seeing last night, getting a little off topic here.
You can roll with it. We can blend
them together. I keep calling him Jungle Boy. I need to get rid of
man.
That. It's scapegoat Jack Perry. Yes.
Jungle Goat.
Goes right back to TNT title matches and gets interviewed backstage and Yep. I mean, he's already moved on from his world title match. So it's just kind of a weird one-off, and Danielson can have a match with a broomstick that's going to be close to 4 stars. So
yeah.
Not saying Jack Perry is a horrible wrestler, because he's not. He definitely has some standalone matches that I've loved. MJF 2020, Luchasaurus to open the cage with Full Gear 2022 was awesome. Part of a really good six-man with Luchasaurus as well. I mean, it's the one that we watched, Full Gear 21, so the guy can go. But yeah, I mean, I think this was just to have an AEW world title match on pay-per-view, something we didn't get last year at All Out, which I was pissed off about.
Yeah, apparently not a hand-picked opponent for Brian. That's one when he was told he was going to wrestle him. They wanted to put him out there in Chicago. I do like the presentation with the scapegoat and the new entrance, you know, the car and everything. I think that's super cool. I thought the match was fine. Justin?
Yeah, I don't dislike Jack Perry, and I'm intrigued about, you know, where his future could take him, because he does have a lot of talent. But, you know, even 1,000 times more than Ospreay and Pac in any other match on this card, like, there was just no doubt who was winning this one. And that really took me out of it, especially for a match that went almost 30 minutes. Like, I just wasn't buying anything they were trying to sell. Although, you know, Jack Perry can take that running knee about as well as anybody can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's just something about his matches where he's kind of the opposite of Pac, where he has no weight in his matches. Like, I'm just not really buying any of his offense, and, you know, whatever heat I think they were expecting him to get with this Chicago crowd, because, you know, I'm sure they were thinking of that New Japan show that was in Chicago when he popped back up and was a, you know, a heat magnet. He basically got no reaction on this show, and I could really feel that in the entirety of this match. Just wasn't buying that he could possibly win, and that really hurt it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just kind of felt like, you know, Brian was trying to make the best of the situation and really make him look good, you know, here in the last days of his full-time career. But it was way too long. You know, it was a good match. It wasn't a great match. It was fine. I think I went 3.5 on this. I felt like it was a strong, like, it was better than average. It wasn't a great, to me, you got to get in that 4 range to be a great match. It was solid, but too long. Now, the angle after the match,
buddy,
that we already referenced with the bag and the plastic bag and everything. I mean, that was incredible. I thought everybody did an outstanding job. The shocked look on Brian's face, you know, Yuta being horrified as he was held back. Chef's kiss, Justin.
Chef's kiss, perfectly executed with the patriarchy coming out. You're thinking Christian's going to cash in. Moxley finally shows up. You know, he showed up on television, but he had nothing to do with the BCC when he'd showed up before the show. But here he's with Yuta and he's with Claudio, and, you know, it goes right from that little nod he gives to Claudio. Claudio delivers the uppercut. And then my favorite moment of the entire thing is, you know, Pat goes in to just give Yuta a hug because he knows what's coming. And then he just holds him and he turns him so that, you know, he has to watch. And, you know, Yuta's performance was fantastic. And if he can't use that to really jumpstart something interesting in his career, then he might be a lost cause at this point. But man, yeah, just everything about this was amazing. And even going into Dynamite, which I think in-ring was a pretty weak Dynamite, but boy, I just ate up all the Mox stuff. He is just on another level right now. And it just makes me very excited to see where all this is going.
Jesse, you?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on with this angle, and also the inclusion of Marina Shafir as a muscle.
Yeah,
is interesting to me as well. She's very silent and just goes about her business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the way she probably should have been presented when she started, because I know she definitely hasn't gotten many high marks, especially from her promo days when she was with Nyla Rose. Like, that's where it was just like, this woman, she's really a pro wrestler. yeah, now she's being presented in the right way. And it shows because she's worked with Moxley in the past at Bloodsport, and they've always recognized her talent. So let's utilize it here. But now you have kind of like your headline, Ryan, is the who beats Bryan Danielson question.
Yeah.
There are a plethora of options out there right now.
Great problem to have for Tony Khan. Who do we think? Who do we think? Obviously, I think they're, you know, the obvious two candidates right now are Darby or Moxley. We need to talk about how that happened. But boy, it sure sounds like if you, you know, if you follow any insiders or if you follow the breadcrumbs, it does kind of seem like Darby might be up next.
How do you feel about that? I know your kid likes Darby a lot.
Oh my God, my kid would freaking love that. I'm fine with it, if only because I don't think it'd be a long reign. You know, Darby held the TNT title multiple times, you know, and none of those were very long runs. He is like the greatest, or not the greatest, but like one of the best chasing baby faces. That's what makes him interesting. So it would be a short run, and considering what he's put his body through for this company, and you know, the fact that I just honestly don't expect him to have a super long career because of that, it doesn't really bother me that much, you know, if only because, again, probably wouldn't be that long of a run.
Yeah. So they're going to have this match at Grand Slam where Darby's putting his title shot on the line against Moxley. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of forgotten about that, that Darby had the shot from, was it Royal Rampage back in July?
Yeah.
And so that's the shot he's putting on the line. So yeah, like, as you mentioned, it could be one of those guys. Do you think that Paige factors in at all as a possibility still?
That's the one I would like to see. Yeah. I would want to see Hangman to Swerve to Ospreay is what I think, you know, the future lineage of this world championship to be. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, and he is at the point, you know, with his character work where he doesn't really need it, but certainly deserves it.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse, and then I'll chime in.
I'll be contrarian, Darby Allin as a world champion. And I understand it. Again, ultimate underdog. Even said it in his promo last night, how he was just like looking for a hero, and he found out all of his heroes were either selling out Outback for a dollar and all this stuff. But then he found a true one in John Moxley. But then he ended up saying, well, you're treating your friends this way. Now you're no longer my hero. I've come from nothing. So great rags to riches story. I just, in terms of like the ultimate David, which is what he's going to be, I just don't see him as world championship material, even if it is short, which I completely understand. I would prefer, it's going to be really, really hard. You probably can't go back to Swerve. The weird one was Dave Meltzer almost reporting that Darby was going to take it off of Danielson at WrestleDream, which would make some sense because he's in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
that's kind of why we were predicting Swerve. You know, it happens to be both of their hometowns, but that would definitely depend on how they execute this entire thing, especially if they're going to keep Darby a babyface. He's just like, you know, Ultimate Warrior and Sting, just somebody who I could never really see being a heel. And so I don't know if the path is actually Mox wins at Grand Slam. He takes the title and then Darby gets it from him. But they certainly laid it out, you know, with Mox saying, you know, he was not ready to be world champ 5 years ago. He wasn't ready 2 years ago. He's not ready now. I don't know how you cannot cut that promo on one of your top baby faces and not have it land later on.
Mm-hmm.
I like that point too, though. And this is a situation where John Moxley doesn't have to be the break the emergency glass. Yeah. There's a fire. John, we need you to put it out. So he definitely doesn't need the world championship. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of, yeah, it's Swerve, it's Hangman. I think my number one choice I'd like it to be Hangman Page. I just don't know if I see it.
Okay. I'll be contrarian too. I agree with Jesse. I do not see Darby Allin as world champion at all. I like him as a wrestler a lot. He's super entertaining. I didn't see anything from him when he was TNT champion that tells me he should be the world champion though. And you know, with the media rights deal coming up and everything, and I'll just tell you this, he's not great with media. When I was working for one of the wrestling websites that I worked with, he did an interview with one of our staff members. It was unusable. It was so bad.
Oh, geez.
Like he was just not personable with the interviewer. And the guy who interviewed him was very good at interviews. I don't really know that he's the type of guy you want to have the world title on. I don't really see it at all with him. I can see why they would do the match and people would be interested in it. I think that would be a bad use of Bryan Danielson dropping the title. I do not think that's the way to go. I think it'd be a bad use of him to drop it to Moxley too, because Moxley doesn't need it. He's had the title multiple times. I think it's, if you have the title on an all-time great, he should be dropping it to a young star that could carry the company for it. I don't think Darby's that guy.
And preferably a heel who can use the fact that he retired Danielson, you know, to carry his career going forward.
Yeah. Paige would probably be my choice right now. Although I still kind of like the idea of him dropping it to Ospreay and them doing another match to follow what we saw in St. Louis. And I mean, yeah, that's a babyface match, but it's a huge match. This is a guy who's probably going to be one of the top two faces of the company moving forward. And I think that's a good use of it too. So, you know, he keeps saying full-time career. So I don't think they're really retiring him. I think he's still going to wrestle. I think it's just going to be a couple of times a year. So I don't think people would hold that against a babyface, because he's not really retiring him. Like, he can come back and he can do the Moxley match, you know, with the angle, or, you know, whatever. He can take some time off, come back, do that match, or whatever they have planned for that. They'll probably do it earlier. But I do not think Moxley should beat him for the title. I do not think Darby Allin should beat him. I think Paige or Ospreay. Those would be my top two choices right now. I wouldn't do Swerve. I wouldn't go right back to Swerve since he won it off of him. I'd have Swerve get it back next year at some point. But yeah, I think Paige, if you want it to be a heel. Otherwise, if you want it to be like this all-time generational moment, you go back to Ospreay.
Yeah, so I guess it comes down to, especially with Ospreay, is if we think Brian's going to hold it past WrestleDream. Because to me, the way things are looking, especially with Ospreay being in that tag title match at Grand Slam, my guess would be at WrestleDream it's going to be him and Ricochet. So I can't really see Ospreay being the one to take the title off of Danielson there. And that, you know, this is all based on, I think, our long time assumption that WrestleDream would be where Danielson would drop it, which, hey, I'm all for him carrying it longer.
Yeah. I mean, it's made sense just because of the scheduling, but it's definitely not a hard rule by any means. And maybe they don't do it because they think it's too obvious. You know, I know people have been talking in our Facebook group about the advertising post WrestleDream and everything, but I mean, that could all play into whatever they have planned, you know, trying to throw people off the scent of what they actually have planned. So, you know, yeah, if they get to it at Full Gear, or if they get it at World's End, you know, or whatever, or hell, if they can convince him to work into next year and they go down to Australia, I mean, who knows what they have, you know, in the cards here with Bryan Danielson. But I'd like to see it be one of those two. Now, Andrew asked in the chat, do you think it could be time for MJF? Jesse, throw it to you on this one. What do you think about MJF beating Danielson?
I was going to throw his name in there and say it should be a couple of years before he holds the world title again. Agree. I think we just saw that the experiment with him as champion, while it didn't fail, it didn't quite hit the expectations that we wanted. And I don't necessarily know if that's his fault. Is that Tony Khan's fault? Like what the cards were. I still think very highly of MJF, and he has had two tremendous matches with Will Ospreay, had a great match with Daniel Garcia to open up the show at All Out. So there's zero question that I think he can lead a company down the road. I just think right now you have people like a Hangman, a Swerve, and an Ospreay, those three, plus MJF, those are probably your four pillars. So, but I think just because MJF had it for, he has the longest AEW world title. World title reign. I think it's just a little bit too soon to go back to him. There's so many other people he can feud with So yeah, give it to one of the other guys I mentioned.
Yeah, more that I agree with everything you just said, Jesse. And for me, it's also kind of to your point, just the other options that are out there, more fresher, newer, more interesting options before I would want to consider MJF for a run quite yet.
Agree. No, I like the place he's been at right now and trying to help elevate Garcia. I really like their match too. I went 3 3/4 on that one. Maybe a tad long, but yes. A really, really good match. Yeah.
Definitely agree. Way too long. I was kind of bummed out that Garcia didn't win like that. Yeah. You know, obviously they had the stuff afterwards where, you know, he got his shine back, but God, that finish just screamed to me that Garcia has not re-signed yet. Cause I just feel like if he had put pen to paper and was officially back with AEW, that he would have gotten the other W, which was that match, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, just for what MJF had done to him, I felt he should have got the win, but solid performance from Daniel Garcia. He looked absolutely terrific in that match.
Yeah. Agreed. Anything from Dynamite that we haven't talked about that you want to tie in to All Out or just on its own?
Yes. Sure. Yeah, yes. I saw a large, annoying portion of Twitter that was upset with this. And to an extent, I understand it. And I'm curious if you guys bumped up against how we got to Danielson and McGuinness. Because obviously, you know, it was Darby's shot at Grand Slam, which, you know, even if Darby isn't going to be the one to win the world title, that is a match I really want to see, Danielson mm-hmm. versus Darby. So that was supposed to be Darby's, and he got baited by Mox to give him that title opportunity. And then afterwards, McGuinness came out and basically challenged Danielson at Grand Slam. And a lot of people are like, well, what the hell? If Danielson's going to be there, then why wouldn't Darby be the one to challenge? It's like, well, to me, it's just like they gave us enough for me to be okay with it. And especially because of the fact that it's leading to Danielson and Nigel McGuinness for the first time in ages, that makes me even more okay with it. It's like, who cares if there's a little bit of holes in the logic? It's like, God damn, man.
Well, they've been teasing this match for like a year.
Oh, and, but I've heard there's no story. There's story, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. The stories. Where's the cinema? Give us some cinema. I mean, Nigel's not an active wrestler outside of the surprise, you know, performance that he had over at Wembley. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't really know how you set it up. I mean, they tease it for a year straight. We saw him come back. He's constantly referencing him on commentary. I didn't mind. I don't really care. I don't think it's a big deal. You, Jesse?
It's on TV, so that's fine. I actually wouldn't have minded them having a, as weird as this is, a one-off at WrestleDream instead.
Mm. Yeah.
Just I think the way that pay-per-view played out last year with Antonio Inoki, there was just a really strong Japanese influence. We had Danielson and Sabre, one of the best technical matches we've seen, and they followed it up earlier this year in Japan. So I think just it might have looked a little bit better on that platform. I guess to the Twitter universe's take on like kind of how we got here backhanded, I can kind of see their gripe. I don't really know if there's like a way to please your entire audience one way or the other. So mm-hmm. I at least it logically made sense that we think Danielson's injured, so therefore Darby's just like, all right. Or Mox is like, I'm going to challenge you, Darby, since we eliminated Brian. And Nigel just found a loophole, and mm-hmm. he's kind of been a heel in this whole thing, yeah. As tongue-in-cheek and hilarious as I've always found him. So
all he's been doing his entire time on commentary is talking shit about Danielson. It's like, you really don't need much more story than that. My only pushback to that match being on WrestleDream is that, and I think I said this at, you know, in our All In review, is that I just don't think there's any way this match could live up to the Ring of Honor matches, just because there's no way they can work as violent and stiff of a style considering what they've both gone through in their careers physically. So I think expectations should be tempered, and Grand Slam to me is just the perfect spot for this kind of match. It's a big enough spotlight with it being this kind of special Dynamite show that it deserves that. But also you're not having to fork over a bunch of money to be disappointed by it.
I mean, the real test is that match enough to get Frank Pettiani to go to Arthur Ashe Stadium again?
That was my first thought.
I can practically hear our friend Frank from 35,000 feet above me right now just screaming, "I'm not fucking going to Arthur Ashe Stadium." I love Frank's criticism of that venue. We love you, Frank.
I wish I was really tied into ROH back then, because Nigel and Brian had a match here in St. Paul. Mm. I believe it was 2007 that got very high marks. I think Dave even gave it 4.5.
Although I am pretty sure that Danielson said that was his least favorite out of all of them. Out of all the matches he had with him. Yeah.
Andrew said in the chat, and I agree with this, and I'm sure they will. Tony needs to use his library and ownership of ROH to explain the feud to those people who haven't been watching for 20 years. Absolutely. He needs to do that. I hope they put together something that's not just on social media, by the way, but that they put on the television show too. Cause sometimes they put out really good stuff, you know, on their social media pages and YouTube, and they never show it on TV. That needs to be on TV. Absolutely. And not like Rampage. And they need to dedicate time on Dynamite, you know, the week before or whatever to, is that next week? Is that 2 weeks away?
Two weeks
away. So next week, yeah, they need to have that ready. Absolutely, next week. So anything AEW else? If you don't, I have one WWE topic for you, but throughout anything else AEW related.
I just got one more question that I already alluded to. What's wrong with Mercedes Moné? Oh. What's going on with that? Because it seemed like the only reason they had her face Sheeta is like, okay, well, we stumbled out of the gate, but at least let's finally have that top-notch 4-star Mercedes match. We'll put her with Sheeta. Not that Sheeta is like this best bout machine, but she's about as sure of a hand as they have in that women's locker room to have a good match. And God, they stunk.
Yeah.
Mercedes stunk. I just don't understand what's going on with her. I honestly have not liked anything about her AEW run. I think she's, this character is obnoxious and not in a fun heel way, but in like an X-Pac go away kind of way. Mm-hmm. And there's just something missing with her in-ring stuff. So tell me, guys, what's up?
Andrew in our chat, I told you all she sucks. Jesse.
I'm not a doctor. I don't think I can fix Mercedes Moné. Maybe there's a certain media member that had a point about Mercedes Moné. Maybe there's something in her life right now that's kind of affecting her, and it's maybe translating to what's going on in the ring. I have no idea. I don't know why there's a translation or like what's going on. She's just lost in translation. She had a good match with Willow. I felt a Double or Nothing. That's been about it. Britt Baker, there's been no mention of that match, which I think she's filming Cobra Kai season 2 right now. Mm-hmm. The final season. Yeah.
I had not heard that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know that she's going to be a part of that. So maybe that's the reason why she's not on TV right now. But no, I don't have a good answer for you.
I don't either. Yeah. I thought the match was below average. I was right around 2 stars on it, which is a below average match to me. I mean, I know the last couple of hers that I've scored, I've had below 3. And I think of 3 as like 3 is a solid good match. Mm-hmm. And she's been below that on everything. So it has to be something outside of the ring. I mean, I know she missed a lot of time. And so, you know, I was kind of factoring some of that to ring rust, but she's been back a little while now. It's not like they work a lot of matches. But yeah, this is real bad, Justin. Not fucking good.
Great match with Stephanie Vakir.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Ryan Huffman in the chat, he's got one of the things I want to throw to you, and this is WWE related. So let me go to this one first. Sure. Just under 2 weeks from now, I think 13 days from now, The Vince McMahon documentary will drop on Netflix. It is going to be 6 episodes. We saw the trailer. We haven't talked about it since that dropped. Are your expectations high? Are you excited? Are your expectations low for this? Justin, since you're such a big WWE fan, I think I got to throw it to you first.
I'm excited in the sense that I just eat up any of the backstage, you know, old footage that we get in any of this kind of stuff. And I'm sure we're going to get some of that on this. I am curious to see who they got for interviews and what they're going to say. The fact that it's not a WWE produced or, you know, something that's going to be coming out on Peacock. I am fascinated to see if they actually cut Vince down quite a bit. Shine a spotlight on all the absolute horrific things he's been a part of throughout his entire career. But I'm keeping my expectations low because I don't think that was the original intent of this doc. I think it was maybe originally more conceived as a fluff piece as far as like what he did for professional wrestling. And that all changed because, you know, they were in the middle of it when all the accusations and allegations came out. It's just, where's it going to go? Especially because we don't really have an answer for a lot of stuff yet. So where can they even go? You know, I want to learn about his background, learn more of that, hopefully. And I mean, honestly, hearing what Vince has to say is going to be fascinating.
How about you, Mr. Velasquez?
Well, I don't have a Netflix account. That's number one. So I don't know if it's going to get me to turn to it unless I hear some, not glowing reviews, but enough intrigue to tell me that this is worth watching because they're going to report it pretty truthfully. Because there's the pros and there's the cons of just his presence in the wrestling business, the good, the bad, the really, really ugly. So I would say I'm right in the middle, but me being a pro wrestling historian and a fan, I'm going to be curious. I'll follow. I'll be listening to people's reviews and be able to make my judgment from there if it's going to be out of my way to purchase a next Netflix account or hopefully borrow one from somebody. I don't know.
So I have issues with the fact that Netflix paid $5 billion for WWE. And no matter, you know, if they actually bury him or whatever, Vince is always going to be so strongly tied to the company that I just have a hard time believing that a company that paid $5 billion for WWE programming and the library, you know,
is going
to paint him out to be this as evil as he actually was, as we now know. You know, I have a hard time believing that. I think that my prediction, because I haven't seen any of it, is that 5 of the 6 episodes are going to be very positive on him. And those are probably already made. And then they're going to have a 6th episode where they get into the recent stuff. And they'll go after him a little bit. And they'll definitely make him look bad. And I think they'll try to make a clean break with him. Like, look, it wasn't always about Vince. We could do this without him. He's gone. Look how happy everyone is, you know, kind of thing. And that's kind of be it. But I don't really know that they're going to go super hard. You know, like we know they didn't really reach out to the victims of Vince McMahon to be involved with this. So that tells me they're not going super hard against him. If there was not even the overtures to speak with them for this project, we know that Bill Simmons is involved. And I mean, is Bill Simmons really the type of guy that wants to bury Vince McMahon? Is he the type of guy that's going to do that? I don't know. I would lean towards no. I really would, unfortunately, because I think an honest portrayal of Vince McMahon would be really interesting to watch. I am really looking forward to seeing the backstage stuff and the footage that we haven't seen. There's probably going to be a lot of that. I am really interested to watch it, absolutely. But I would be really surprised if it's a full hatchet job on him, just because of the relationship the company that's broadcasting it, you know, has with the company and how much money they put down, regardless if Vince is out or not. Almost everybody for years is going to think of him when you hear WWE. I don't, you know, regardless of him being gone. So that's that's kind of where I'm at. Here's the cover art. I'll share this from the poster. This was mentioned in the chat if you guys haven't seen it. So it looks like this. Vince is like the puppet master. And it says mastermind on one side and madman on the other. There was a line in the doc, wasn't in the trailer, like Vince McMahon, they were talking about him and Hulk Hogan was on there and he was like, everything the guy touched turned to gold. Like, come on. You know how many business failures this guy had? What are you talking about? Of course, Hulk Hogan said that.
I am stunned. We can't believe whatever Hulk Hogan says.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the angle, then that would definitely be very, very untrue. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. We'll talk about it on the show after it airs. They're going to air all six of them are going to drop at the same point on September 25th, I believe it is. So
what is it? Is that a weekday?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. We will not review it the next day. I don't plan on watching all six episodes in 24 hours.
I'm wondering
after that, maybe
if I should pull the birthday card and tell all I want for my birthday. Family is for you to go away for 6 hours so I can watch this the entire Vince McMahon doc in one sitting.
Yeah. Andrew pointed out communist Russia colors as well. That is true. Good point. Which is interesting because Vince is definitely a far right figure, but you know, it is. It's that red and yellow. Although it's also Hulk Hogan colors, red and yellow. So there you go.
And with this new era, Andrew, I feel that they've been very hush hush when it comes to Vince McMahon. So I don't think there's going to be a burial at all. Not a full one. It'll, like Ryan said, I think 80% of it's going to be positive and the other 20, they'll just scrape some of the negative stuff and still kind of paint him as the guy who changed the sports entertainment world. That's kind of what I foresee coming.
They'll paint him as a bad guy in the end. They're not going to get too specific. I doubt in what this guy actually did and the history of what this guy did. You know, I would be stunned, but we'll see. Maybe we'll be happily surprised. We'll come on here the week after it drops and be like, holy shit, blew us away. You know, we'll see. Last topic, Bret Hart was on Raw in Calgary this week. Justin, did you have a chance to see it?
Oh, nope. I was washing my hair.
Even as Bret Hart didn't get you to tune in?
Not 2024 Bret Hart.
Yeah. Okay, Jesse, did you see it?
I did.
What'd you think?
The backstage stuff was funny. He didn't look like he was too happy to be there.
No, he did not. He did not look thrilled. I did think Gunther was funny when he mentioned that Bill Goldberg was his favorite wrestler. That was funny. But, I mean, it's good to see him. I got a good response from the crowd. I can't believe they are still using that trash theme song. Why the fuck would you still use that 2010 abortion of a remix of Bret Hart's theme song? There was never any reason to do it over in the first place. They own the rights to the old song, and yet they still brought him out in Calgary after all these years to the 2010 remix of his theme song. Yeah, it was fine. You know, I was curious. I turned it on just to see him pretty much. I'm way behind on my WWE stuff right now. So that's why we're not going super heavy WWE this week. I got to catch up on a lot of it. But I did see that. Thought Gunther was funny, like I said. And they set up Sammy to come out there in the Calgary Flames jersey and all that to get the cheap pop from the crowd and align him with Bret. But yeah, Bret didn't appear to be super thrilled to be there. They posted that video of him in the gorilla position with Triple H. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that clip.
It's like, come on. They're trying way too hard here with Hunter to make him look always embracing Bret Hart. What do you think Bret Hart was thinking in his head at that moment in time? Probably can't repeat it on air.
I liked somebody posted that picture of those two hugging and embracing and with a side-by-side of Jordan and Larry Bird hugging from the Jordan doc where they hug and Jordan says, fuck you, you bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the perfect, perfect, exact same thing. All right, guys, that's all I got on the agenda. It's been a fun time catching up on a little wrestling. Been a little while on the main feed since we did classics last week. So again, check that out, become a Patreon member. SummerSlam 94. You will enjoy it. Join for a month. dive into as many classics and unplugged and extra episodes as you can. And stay with us. Support the pod. Otherwise, subscribe here on YouTube or your favorite podcasting feed. Guys, been a blast. Any closing statements before we head on off into the sunset?
No, excited where wrestling's at and where it's going right now.
Well said.
I'm with you. And to my United States brethren, don't go eating any animals.
Don't tell me what to do. This is America. I don't know if you saw my name today.
Yes.
I can't possibly follow that. So for that, for Justin Joint and Jesse Velasquez, I am Ryan Drosty. And Justin, enjoy your trip to Springfield, Ohio this weekend. Have fun.